and they've never known that. They've never understood that, and therefore they cannot plead for revival because they've never had life. People faint, and then when people help them, they revive. Flowers, they droop, and they fade away. But then you can place that water, put water to that flower, paste that flower in water, and they will revive or revive up again. Don't give my wife flowers because she cannot, she doesn't have a green thumb. Her plastic flowers die. So I'm warning you. But the thing about it is flowers sometimes they do wilt, but when you put water to them, they revive up. And Christians and churches also droop. They faint and they need reviving. There are degrees of revival. When I say degrees of revival, you take a sick person may revive and get a little better. And then they get a little better, and later they're restored to full health, and they have their strength back. Then they are revived. The same, I believe, is true with Christians, and I believe today our churches are sick. Sick. The reason I say that is because we see how things go in our church, and I don't have to remind you. I don't have to remind you because we can just look around us. We can see tonight. We need to be full tonight. But the thing about it is when we think about revival, what is it, D? What is it and what does it mean? As we look close at this psalm, I pray that we pray together that we may become more deeply burdened for God to send a full-scale Holy Ghost, devil-beating revival in our land. And indeed throughout the world, that people may come to know the reality of God and what He wants in their life. As we look at this and what the psalmist is saying, the first thing I believe that we need to understand is we need to confess our need for revival. Our need for revival. The psalmist's prayer was a confession of need. It was only when he felt that need and understand that need that he prayed what he prayed there in verse 6. Think of the need of revival today. Think of the outside world. Those people who've never responded to God. Multitudes are without God and they're without hope according to Ephesians 2:12 is what Paul said. They're without hope, without no real aim and purpose in life. That's what he said. Because they do not understand what it means to have life. They do not understand what it means to know Jesus Christ. And if they do not know Jesus Christ, if you're here tonight and you do not know Jesus Christ, I will assure you by the authority of God's Word and what God taught in His Word and what Jesus said in John 10:10 that you are not alive, you are just existing tonight. Because He come that we may have life and have it abundantly. Apart from Him, you cannot have life. And we have a world on the outside that is dead, dead in their trespasses and sin. Most of them are outside the church. They need revival. And revival is the only key and only hope and only means to the tragic situation. Look in our churches. Many of our churches today, listen to me, many of our churches, and I don't like to gloat on this, but many of our churches today, they're so formal and they're so lacking in spiritual power. They lack in spiritual power and they lack in that vitality or that life. Only revival can alter this state of affair in today's world. The churches need revival. In our own lives, personally, I can only speak for myself, how powerless sometimes we are, how frequent we fail, our testimony seems so ineffective, and how little do we pray. See, revival is our personal need. Revival is something that I need. I feel like we need that. There has never, and there never will be any revival until we are willing to admit our desperate need for revival. So we stand in need. There's a confession of a need. But the second thing is we must admit also to the possibility of revival. What I say that, the possibility. Are we convinced that revival is possible? Do we really believe in our heart that revival is possible? Six times in verses 1 through 3, he reminds God of what he has done. You've showed, you've restored, you've done this all through those first three verses. Six times he mentions that. And the fact that God has sent revival in the past demonstrates, listen to me, demonstrates the possibility of revival coming in our day. Our day. Some people would not admit the possibility of revival coming in a day. For there are many those ultra dispensational, those pessimists, all those unbelieving, those self-satisfied, those worldly Christians that, you know, they think everything is going hunky-dory, and please don't mess with the status quo. I just want things like they are. Folks, we've had it like it is so long that we're so complacent that we cannot even understand what it means to have a right relationship with God. 2 Chronicles 7:14. We've used that Wednesday night. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, "If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways," he says, "then will I hear from heaven and I will forgive their lands." I will heal them. I will forgive them and I will heal their lands. Jeremiah 33:3 says, "Call upon me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." Malachi 3:10 talks about returning to God, coming back to God. We need to prove him. That's the term Malachi uses. We need to prove God because I believe there's a possibility of revival. I believe God wants to send revival if we'll only get ourselves in line with his purpose. So there's a possibility. Third thing is we must recognize and understand the source of revival. Where does revival come from? Where does it come from? Verse 6 tells us, does it not? "Wilt thou not revive us again?" Passionate, as we look at this forth, the source of it, where is it? It comes from God. It's not worked up, but it's sent down. And therefore, our eyes must not be upon men. They must not be upon methods. They must not be upon one certain church or one certain denomination. But our eyes must be upon Him, Almighty God. I picked up something I read several years ago. It says, when we look to man, we get what man can do. When we look to money, we get what money can do. Had a church, we went to hear a man called, some of them said they wanted to get him for revival. Went and heard him, and then we kind of questioned about, you know, how he would come. Well, the first thing he wanted to do is he wanted us to make sure that we had agreed to give him $5,000 to come, and possibly have to put him up in the motel room because he didn't want to stay in nobody's house. Well, we wrote that off. Bad existence. But many times when we think about that, and we look at it, when we look for money or look to money, we get what money can do. When we look to organization, we get what organization can do. When we look to denomination, we get what denomination can do. But let me tell you something. When we and if we look to God, we can get what God wants to do. Turn to Psalm 62 just a moment. Psalm 62, verse 5 says this, "My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from Him." Dr. Vernon McGee calls Psalm 62 the only psalm. It's got so many onlys in it, but the psalmist here recognized that God is the only means and the only method for life and all the things that life consists of, and we need to recognize that it only comes from God. Right, revival only comes from God. The fourth thing is we must employ the means of obtaining revival. And you say, what are you talking about? What are the means? What is the secret of revival? What is the secret of revival? What would you think it would be? The secret of revival, he says it there in verse 6. "Wilt thou not revive us again? Wilt thou not revive us again?" Passionate, believing, urgent prayer. Has there ever been a revival that was not preceded by prayer? I don't know of one. As I said, I've read about these. You look at the first revival in the New Testament there at Pentecost. They were meeting. They were in the upper room. They were gathered together. The whole focus of their attention, they were praying together, praying in one accord, as Acts talks about. They were praying, seeking God's face. You look at the Morven revivals, and you see those folks met together, and they prayed. You look at the revivals of 1859, and they were praying. You look at the Welsh revivals. They were meeting together long before the revival ever broke out, because they were seeking God and what God wanted in their life. I believe it comes only through prayer. Moments that the Spirit is working and taking place, taking precedent in our lives, in all other parts of our lives, and bring again to us. And go back to 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people which are called by my name shall pray, that's the first thing, the very first thing. So we must employ the means for obtaining revival, and that is through prayer. You know the problem, reason we don't have prayer today, I mean revival today, is because many people won't pray. Let's face facts, folks. We do want to spend time in prayer. We don't want to take time to pray. But I will assure you, by the authority of God's word, revival will not come until prayer is sought. Prayer is worked in our life. And as God works through the medium of prayers, He changes and He talks and He speaks to us. Then and only then can we catch a vision of what God wants and what God can and will do if we'll only surrender to Him. Yes, the fourth thing is we must employ the means of obtaining revival. The fifth thing is we must provide the usable channel for revival. You say, well, wait a minute, preacher. What are you talking about, the usable channel? I believe that God is wanting to send revival. I believe with every fiber of my being that God wants to send a revival to America in her sick condition. And I don't have to tell you how sick she is. Look at some of the things that's going on in our society. But He needs channels. He needs channels to work through, if you please. Look there back in verse 6. It says, verse 5 says, "Will thou be angry with us forever? Will thou draw out thine anger to all generations?" Verse 6, "Will thou not revive us again?" The us, in the application of that scripture to us today, would be believers, would be Christians. For revival, listen to me, revival is the outflow of the Spirit of God through the regenerated spirit of man. That's what revival is. It is the outflow, the overflow, if you please, of the Spirit of God through regenerated hearts and lives have sold out to Jesus Christ. According to John 7:38 and 39, that's what Jesus said. Thus, if revival is going to come, and listen to me close, you and I are to be ready to receive the full blessings of God and to be channels, listen to me, channels through whom that blessing can flow to others. I believe that's a principle taught throughout the Word of God. You go back to the children of Israel. I mentioned this the other, last Sunday night. Whenever the children of Israel were chosen by God, He chosen them and he wanted to bless them. That's what the whole covenant was about. He says, I will bless you, and you will be a blessing, and you will bless those. You will bless me, you will bless those, and you will bless others. And that's the thing about it. God wants to bless us. He wants to use us as a channel of blessings. What is the reason God's blessings are not flowing through our lives today? I'll tell you what, they're a log jam somewhere down the road. You know what it is? Many times it's that little three-letter word called S-I-N. S-I-N. We don't want to talk about that. We don't want to deal with it. Many times we don't want to deal with it. But I'll guarantee that you'll never have revival in your life. The church will never have revival until sin is dealt with. That's why Wednesday night I point out the very first thing we need to do in that R for, in that acrostic for revival, is we need to renounce all sin, all known sin. Repent of those sin. Turn from those sin. Turn to Him, the one that can deal with those things. So God provides, and He wants a usable channel that He can work through. But then there's a sixth thing. We must remove the obstacles that hinder revival. The obstacles. In verse 6, the psalmist prays for revival. You read that with me. He says, "Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee?" That your people may rejoice in you. That's what he said. This indicates fellowship. This indicates walking with God, being right with God, in agreement with God. As Amos 3:3 says, can two walk together unless they agree? Can we really understand what it means? Can we really focus our life and live a life that God would have us to live? See, the greatest barrier to revival is the word sin, or sin which comes in our life and is in our life. Are you right with God? As Brother Ivy pointed out this morning, is there a time in your life, has there ever been a time in your life that you were closer to God than you are right now? Well, let me tell you something. If there is, you need revival. You need to repent. You need to come to Him, because let me tell you something. He's not the one that's moved you have. He's not the one that's moved you have. Are you living in disobedience to the Lord? We only need to face up to the fact. Face up to it. Face up to it. Many years ago, Dr. Dwight L. Moody, of course, this was before he was Dr. Dwight L. Moody, before he started the college institute, he heard Henry Varley say in a sermon, he said this, he says, "The world has yet to see what God can do with one man who is fully surrendered to Him." Fully surrendered to Him. Listen to me. Moody said, he says, "By God's grace, I'll be that man. I'll be that man." Will you be one? Will you begin now to pray that kind of prayer? "God, I want to be your man. I want to be your woman. I want to do what you would have me to do. I want to be open to you." Would you do that? Would you be that voice for God? There's a song. Listen to the words of it. I've sung it before, but listen to it again.
One voice crying in the wilderness. One voice proclaiming righteousness. One man doing what he's called to. Faithful and true. One voice mightier than a thousand swords, calling out, "Prepare ye the way of the Lord. He that is coming is much greater than me. I will gladly His servant be." One voice crying in the wilderness. One voice proclaiming righteousness. One man doing what He's called. Prophesied, the Lamb of God made his own choice to be baptized by this faithful voice. One voice crying in the wilderness. One voice proclaiming righteousness. One man doing what he's called to do. One man faithful and true. Yes, one voice crying in the wilderness of sin. One voice proclaiming the righteousness of Jesus Christ and Him alone. One man doing what He's called to do. One voice faithful and true.
One person. One individual, the obstacle, maybe the obstacle to revival is ourself. We're in the way. We cannot and will not be what God wants us to be. We remain that obstacle. Let me tell you something. When we're not surrendered to Him, when we're not seeking His will for lives, we are an obstacle. You're an obstacle to someone that maybe need to come to Jesus. But let me tell you something. There's a promise too in this chapter. And that is a chapter that we shall enjoy the results of revival. Enjoy the results of revival. If you read the rest of this psalm, you'll notice several results that are mentioned in this passage, in this chapter. He mentions salvation in verse 7. The reality of salvation. People will come to know Jesus Christ. And let me tell you something. When a person comes to know Him, He also speaks of peace there in verse 8. You cannot have peace apart from salvation. Absolutely, there's no way to have it. Glory, as Brother Ivy preached on this morning. Glory, the very glory of Jesus working in and through our lives. People, our life reflecting the glory of God. That's what the Bible teaches about His children, His people, those who respond to Him. It talks about harmony in verse 10. It talks about increase in verse 11. It talks about provision in verse 12 of what God will do. The rewards that God will bring are sin when revival happens, when revival comes. Tonight, as we look at this passage, I pray that we'll all be open to God for His will and His purpose for our life, that we can understand what it means to have revival. So many times, as God's children, we live like paupers, spiritually speaking. I read a story just the other day of a man, I believe it was in New Jersey. He had lost his job. His car had tore up a couple of weeks before. His wife was the only one that had a job kind of halfway supporting them. All kind of problems. The washing machine quit. They was having to put up a clothesline, hang up clothes outside. The dryer quit. And then the septic tank stopped up above all things else. But he got out there digging around with a shovel. And you know what? As he was digging around with that shovel, he found a gold coin. And man, he went to digging deeper. He went even digging with his hands. And he captured a whole crochet of coins valuing from $1.5 to $2 million. Did you think his life changed? You bet it changed. Let me tell you something. That's what revival can do in our life. We can find the things that God has, the reward that God has for us, if we'll only surrender and come to Him and look to Him for what He has for us. Let's pray together. I don't know your heart tonight, but I know if you're here and you need Jesus Christ, He wants you to know Him. He wants to save you tonight. If you will, trust Him. That's what you got to do, is trust Him for what He accomplished, what He done at the cross, and what He wants to do in and through your life. Father, once again, we bow to thank You. We thank You and we praise You, God, for that which You can and will do in our hearts and our lives. If we will trust You and look to You, and Lord, help us to to be what you'd have us to be. Father, tonight, do the work that only you can do. And I pray that we as a church will seek your face and your will in this revival. I pray, God, that you'd be with Brother Rich as he comes to share and to break the bread of life. God, just use him in a mighty way. Help us, O Lord. Help us, O Lord, this week to seek what you would have in our life and to be busily engaged in doing the things you'd have us to do. For your name's honor and glory we pray. Amen. Hymn of commitment, hymn of invitation.
I am thine, O Lord. I am thine, O Lord, I have heard thy voice, and it told thy love to me. But I long to rise in the arms of faith and be closer drawn to thee. Draw me nearer, near, O blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, nearer, near, O blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding Son. Consecrate.